Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're speaking about a topic that I know will encourage you because every single one of us faces hard times, at least at some point in our lives. And we're talking about how you can overcome those challenges, whether we're talking about historical trauma in Indian country or whether it's something personal you're going through today, you can relate to this message. We've got really an expert in the field. His name is Dominic Damaski. Dominic, it's great to have you with me.
Great to be here, sir. Thank you.
Now, Dominic, I'm sure one of the questions immediately on everyone's minds as I've introduced you is what makes you an expert in overcoming difficulties?
I would be honored to answer that question. The first thing that I think makes me an expert is in my life, at one point, I have failed at everything I've ever done, whether it be asking a pretty girl out who later became my wife, whether it be getting beat up in school, whether it be not making sales and getting put on plan in sales business, or whether it be going into business and being $500,000 in debt in just a few years. At everything I've ever done, I fell, I was down, I brushed myself off, and got back up and started swinging.
Okay, well, this is an encouraging message. And I know there's folks who are tuning in today that are saying, wow, this guy is going to be talking about the power of the Creator in his life. Someone else says, oh, this is a great story of just someone who on their own pulled themselves up. But the point is, wherever someone's coming, wherever they're listening to this show from, you're talking about a story that everyone can relate to no matter what their spiritual perspective is, right? Because we all face these obstacles.
Absolutely. I don't claim to have climbed Everest. I don't claim to have be this multi-billionaire or anything like that. I'm just a guy who's been down and out and refuses to give up.
Well, Dominic, tell us a little bit about your life story. I mean, you've given us, first of all these credentials that I know didn't wow people. They said, I'm just glad it wasn't me that lost that $500,000 in a short time. Tell us a little bit about your life's journey.
No problem. One of the things I think that is really important that I point out is I grew up in family business. My dad was a landscaper and had a nursery. So from a young age, I grew up picking up cigarette butts, doing the odd jobs, digging holes out in the fields. Any odd job, I did it. Mm-hmm. And so I also had that entrepreneurial spirit where I thought, hey, I can go out and do this on my own. When whatever task it was, even from an early age, getting cut from the team or whatever, I think a lot of that work ethic, that just put your head down and get it done, that I learned as a young kid out in this field, I think that transcended throughout my life where it had to be done. You got to get through it. Hey, things are bad, push forward.
I mean, that's a powerful message. I mean, just as we begin the show, because a lot of people didn't come from a stable background. They didn't realize that sometimes just hanging in there is what it took. But you had that cultural, if you will, value from your earliest years.
For sure. I think seeing my father, my parents, so when they worked so hard, I always saw that and said, hey, I could work harder. So whatever I was doing, whether it be later in my life, whether it was, you know, working at my restaurant when I opened it, hey, I could stay open a couple more hours. I could work a little harder. When it was in sales, I could make one more phone call after getting kicked out of a place. I could do one more thing to make me a little bit better, to maybe make me succeed. One more thing. What could I do?
So this is an exciting message of persistence, perseverance, but at the same time, you already told us part of the story, and that is in spite of that drive and that mindset that you could succeed, that you could make a go of it, you found yourself in some pretty difficult circumstances.
That's true. It's funny how that happens where along the way, where I had this belief in myself, I failed over and over. When in school, I got beat up, and in sports, I got cut from the team. But I, as I said earlier, I picked myself up. I used to play basketball, and I have no athletic ability whatsoever. I couldn't shoot that well, and I wanted to play basketball every year. I tried out for the teams, and I was the worst, barely made it, or I got cut. So just kept trying out, kept shooting. And then somehow I ended up playing in college and starting for a Division III college. After in high school, I stepped so far away from the coach that I probably could have worked a concession stand. But I just continued to proceed, shoot those shots, try, do that little bit of extra. When the other guys were going home, I worked on my dribbling a little more, and all of a sudden I made it. I accomplished the goal that I wanted to accomplish.
So this is encouraging when someone sticks with something. We see that they're successful, at least in some measure. And yet at the same time, there's people tuning into this show, and they're saying, well, that's fine, but I did all the same stuff. I kept going out to the basketball court. I kept dribbling. I kept shooting. And, you know, I was 5 feet tall, and I never got anywhere in basketball. Some people just not cut out for certain things. Is that part of the key to success, too, realizing where you don't fit?
I think that is. I actually have a list that I'd like to go over with you in a little bit. It's about the steps to getting up from failure, and one of them is sometimes you just have to change your plan. There was times when I was $500,000 in debt in the restaurant business and working 15 to 18 hours a day, and at that point I went and got a newspaper route, and I was delivering 250 papers on a normal day. On Sundays I delivered about 300, plus I worked 15 to 18 hours at the restaurant. There was no more hours in the day.
Right.
And I still wasn't making it. So sometimes you just have to get a new plan.
This is a powerful concept, because you're telling us two messages that some people would say they just don't connect, but they work together like a hand in glove, don't they, Dominic?
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, we got to be persistent when it comes to fulfilling some of those things that don't come that easy, but at the same time, there come situations where we just have to say, this isn't working, whether it's a spiritual insight that you get, whether you say, look at the Creator's not blessing this, or whether you say, hey, I'm not cut out to do this. It doesn't matter how you come to the realization. But like you said, you've got to come up with a different plan, right?
Right. And I'm not telling you to give up on something you love. Never quit. Don't ever quit. But sometimes, like in my case, when I was down in the restaurant business, it wasn't for me anymore. I almost went from loving it to hating it. So I was ready. I had went as far as I was willing to go. At one point, there was a warrant out for my arrest. It was business-related, and I was thinking, I wasn't going to jail. I didn't love it that much. I was ready for a new plan. So sometimes when you know you gave it your all, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And that's why today, sitting on the radio with you, I can say, hey, I failed. I failed. But I took responsibility. I brushed myself off, and I moved on.
What I like about what you're saying, I mean, I like a lot of what you're saying, but one of the things I like is what I hear you saying, Dominic, is I may have failed, but I'm not a failure.
You're right on. Can I borrow that and write it down for my next book?
Sure. Yeah. Go for it. What is exciting too is you've actually taken what a lot of people would say is a series of failures, and you've turned it into a book that's actually helping a lot of people. Tell us a little bit about that.
One of the things, like I said, I'm not afraid to tell the world where I was, because it's where I was. It's not where I intend to stay. It's not where I'm going to stay. And like the listeners, maybe a few of them, I'm just a guy still trying to find success. And that's what the book is about. So you've been down. So you've been out. Hey, pick yourself back up and make a baby step forward. Start over. It's a new day. And move forward. And that's what the book's about. A lot of it's somewhat humorous, or there may be stories that I may put a little humorous spin on them or on a serious subject, but it's a light look at failure and persistence and just letting people know, hey, you may be down, you may be out, but it's not that bad. Other people have been there too. You can get through it.
Now, if no one knew anything about your history, if they just look at the title of your book, I think the average person would think that it does have something to do with the restaurant industry. Is that a safe conclusion?
That's a good conclusion, and you are right, but somebody asked me one day if it was a cookbook. So,
so tell us the name of the book.
The name of the book is Don't Double Bread the Fish.
Now, I hate to admit this to you, because my first job, my first real big-time job, if you want to put it that way, as a young kid, was working as a busboy in a higher-end restaurant in the Chicago area, and actually it was a fish restaurant. But I wasn't cooking. I was a busboy, so I don't understand this terminology of double-breading the fish, so you better help me out.
Will do. In the restaurant business, I'm from near Pittsburgh, and in this area, people eat a lot of fish sandwiches. They put the breading on them. It's egg wash, breading, flour, and then you can throw it in the fryer. So, first of all, you have to thaw the fish, and once you thaw it, it's only good for a certain amount of time, probably 2 or 3 days.
Uh-huh.
And once you bread it and it's wet, it's really only good for 1 or 2 days.
Okay.
But what you can do, and maybe you shouldn't do, but people do, is you can re-bread the fish. You can double bread it.
Hmm.
And that freshens it up. It might get you through a third day. So when I was in the restaurant business and I didn't always make the best decisions, there was a time where Friday came. That's when we sold the most fish. We'd sell hundreds of pounds. So Friday came, Saturday came, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Now the fish maybe has a slight odor to it. Maybe it does. Wednesday, Thursday. Now we're back to Friday, and I still have like 30 pounds of this fish left. And the fish at the time costed about $4 a pound. So 4 times 30, that's 120 bucks or so. But you're going to sell it for about 8 bucks. So that's maybe $800 in fish, something like that. So
mm-hmm.
I made the poor executive decision to double bread the fish.
Hmm.
And what that means is, like I said, I knew it was bad. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I thought, oh, with a little bit of tartar sauce, a little bit of refried it, more breading, the people won't know. But I took a shortcut that I shouldn't have done. And how this relates to the book and a lesson in the book, they're all, each chapter's a lesson. In life, when you know something's wrong, don't do it. Don't double bread the fish.
Hmm. Well, you got me on the edge of my seat. What happened?
Well, in this case, I even had some uncles and aunts that used to come in at like 11 o'clock. So from 11 to 12, you'd do your first wave of business. So I thought, hey, by noon, I'll be done with all that fish anyway. So the first wave of people came, they ate all that fish, and about a half hour later, I started getting calls from even my aunt and uncle saying, Uncle Ron's sick, Uncle Wes is sick.
Oh, no.
People were calling in saying they were sick. And like I say, I regret it. I was wrong. The business suffered at the time. You know, people were mad at me. And I learned the lesson.
Okay, well, that's a powerful lesson. So if we know something is not the right thing to do, we should just stay away from it.
Exactly. Don't double bread the fish.
Well, Dominic, I know you've got a lot of great stories that are going to give us more secrets into how we can take a situation that may look bad and can help use that to be a key to future success. But we've got to slip away just for a minute. You're listening to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. My guest today is Dominic Damaschke. Dominic, even if I haven't had all those experiences that you've had, listen, we've all had our share of challenges, of failures, of difficulties, and we want to put some tools in your hands. Every one of you that's tuning into American Indian Living today, Dominic has got some amazing stuff that you're going to just draw you in, practical things that you can say, hey, I could do this differently. Here's some strategies that can work for me. And I think you're going to walk away from the show extremely encouraged. We'll have some information about how to get Dominic's book as well. I'm Dr. DeRose. We will be back. Stay tuned with us for more on today's edition of American Indian Living.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Dr. David DeRose. American Indian Living is made possible in part by sponsors and partners like Dr. Juan Carlos Belliard with Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth. The Gateway Program, offering American Indian youth from throughout the country a sponsored 3-week residential program to introduce them to healthcare careers. The Gateway Program, an essentially free program that is part of Loma Linda University's CAPS programming, Community Academic Partners in Service. Online at llu.edu or by phone at 909-651-5011. Again, 909-651-5011. That's Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth, a proud partner of American Indian Living.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people and full of people. And full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose, we're talking today about secrets of success, especially in the setting of apparent failure. Dominic Damaschke is with me. He's an author and he's someone with a lot of experience if you've been joining us from the beginning of the hour. Dominic, you've got some great material and great resources. If someone can't be with us for the whole hour, tell them how they can tap into your books and other resources.
Sure thing. If you'd like to check me out, I have my own website. It's called www.motivationchamps.com. Check me out there, www.motivationchamps.com. You can get books there. You can contact me there, and I actually sign any book that leaves there. And I'm always posting on Twitter. It is at DomD1000. I post things I might be saying, things David might be saying, things Benjamin Franklin might have said, positive messages all day long. If you'd like to check me out either of those places, I'd love to chat.
Okay, so Motivation Champs, like short for champions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, motivationchamps.com?
That is it.
Okay.
My son helped me name that.
Well, that's pretty good. So you've already got a son who's in business school?
He's in business school, which is second grade.
Okay, excellent. Well, we're glad you got someone good in the PR department there in the Damaschke household. Well, Dominic, you alluded to something in our first segment that got my interest. I think a lot of the listeners tuned into this. You said that you've got a list of, was it steps to success? Did I pick up that correctly?
I have 10 definite steps to coming back from failure. If somebody wants to say, how do I come back? But how can I? Well, I'll give you 10 steps where you can come back. You can start coming back today.
Okay, well, let's talk about them. Tell us that list of the 10.
Sure thing. I'll I'll run through them brief and we can chat about them. But first step, take responsibility. Once you're down and out, you need to take responsibility and realize you may have played some part in that. So take responsibility, acknowledge it. The second step I have is brush yourself off. Once you're down and it's time for you to get up, you got to brush yourself off, swallow your pride, and get up. The third thing is once you're up, you got to start over. It's a new day, a fresh start. So now, step four, when you are up, you have to make a plan. Set a goal. Step five, once you have that goal, you need to take action. Even a baby step, even moving your toe a little bit forward is a step in the right direction. Number six, which we talked about earlier, is we touched on it, is you have to commit to something. You can't think, well, I tried today. You have to try every day. You have to try. You have to learn, study, commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, I'm a salesman. I knock on doors every day too. And one of the things you can't do is you cannot take no for an answer. You have to just keep pushing forward. Even when you're coming back, there's going to be people that say you can't. There's going to be days where you're just not feeling it, but you can't take no for an answer. Number eight, nothing comes easy. You still have to work your tail off. You have to put in the work. Number nine, remember, nothing is impossible. So whatever it is you're going to set out as your goal, in this world, remember, nothing is impossible. And the final step, which I think is the most important of all, is persistence. You must persist. Persist.
Wow, so 10 practical steps, starting with taking responsibility. And you kind of walk through this imagery of really being down, brushing yourself off, getting up, and just going back to it. You've got so many powerful stories, though, Dominic. Illustrate some of these points with some of the chapters in your own life for us so we can really get a feel for how this works and how we can implement these principles.
Sure. One of the stories I'll tell, and I touched on it a little bit, is at one point in my life, and I hate to say it, and it could be embarrassing, but I'm not afraid to tell the world and my failures, there was a warrant out for my arrest.
Wow.
I came home one day, I owed the government back taxes.
Uh-huh.
And they finally said, you owe too much, we're not accepting it anymore. So I went home, and here I see this warrant on the back of my door, and I'm thinking, oh no. So turns out we were able to make the payments necessary. I didn't have to go to jail. But for years, I kept this little warrant in my pocket. As I started a sales career and started moving on, I kept this little warrant in my pocket, and I would look at it and say, I don't want to be there. So I would look at this thing for encouragement or motivation every once in a while. And then finally one day, I had this thing in my pocket. I look at it. It was a little yellow warrant, and it looked like a library card or something. But I looked at it one day and said, I don't need you anymore. So I threw out my warrant. I let go of the past, and I was ready to move on.
Now, it's an interesting story because I hear two dimensions to what you're sharing. On one hand, I was almost going to draw the lesson at first that we don't want to forget some of those things in the past if they're helping us to be focused in the present. And yet I know one of the most famous sayings in motivational discussions is forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the mark that's ahead. So how do you put those two things together in your experience?
One of the things I think, if you were to look at me close, I mentioned I used to get in fights in high school and stuff, and probably my record's about 10 and 50, meaning I lost a lot of them.
Wow.
So if you looked close at me, I have scars over my eyes, and my nose might be a little off center. But how I draw these together is my failures, my past, they may mold me. They may have scarred me, but they do not define me.
Mm.
So that's how I relate the two of them. You can look back at it. You can look back at it. You can learn from it. You can become better from it. But don't hold on to it. Don't let it hold you, and don't let it just tie you so tight that you can't get loose from it.
There was a young man with some mental challenges that actually had attended some meetings that I was giving, some health education meetings. And my boys were quite young at the time, and they actually heard this young man as he walked out of one of the meetings saying, "I'm no good. I'm no good." Sometimes, for whatever reason, because of how we've been labeled or experiences we've had. Now, I'm thankful to say we were able to help that young fellow once we knew he was dealing with that issue. But the point is, a lot of us walk around in subtle ways telling ourselves that we're failures or we're no good. Did you ever fall into that trap?
Interesting question. I think at times in everybody's life, you would be a liar if you said there was times where I didn't have doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't let that doubt just fester in you. Any goal that you ever set, when you start out, you're a novice at it. You're not as skilled at it. You are going to have doubts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that work ethic. It's that commitment. It's the not taking no for the answer. It's the persistence where all of a sudden you do all those things and the doubts just fade away.
And they fade away because you actually see some level of success?
That's the interesting thing about the baby steps, why I mentioned setting a goal, making a plan. I think when you set a goal, me and you, I may want to take on the world someday,
mm-hmm.
but when you're setting a goal, you don't have to take on the world at once, but you could write down that you want to take on the world. So maybe the first step is writing down your goal, writing down maybe the step is researching. Mm-hmm. If you want to start a business, research it. So now tomorrow morning you can say, "Hey, last night I stayed up late and I researched
mm-hmm.
starting a dry cleaner or starting a landscape company. I know a little more about it. I have now moved in the right direction." So the next time somebody asks you a question, you're more prepared and you just keep on moving in the right direction, little by little. So to answer your question, if I dodged it, is when you make those baby steps and you set those little goals, you are meeting them each step of the way. And so you're seeing success. Oh, I did write down my goals. I did learn a little bit about mm-hmm. a landscape business last mm-hmm. night. So you're seeing that success and you just keep making more goals, more goals, more goals. And next thing you know, you're on the mountaintop.
No, I mean, it's a great message, Dominic, and we've seen this in the health behavior research as well. The idea is many people just set themselves up for failure because they only articulate a goal that's so lofty that they can't reasonably attain it in the time frame that they're looking at. But taking that to heart, that message that you're giving, I just really want to endorse what you're saying, because whether you're dealing with an addictive behavior, whether you're wanting to get on an exercise program or eat right, whether it's starting a new business, whether it's getting a job, all of these things, like you've broken it down, even if you've had some hard knocks, that doesn't mean that you can't set some reasonable goals, some things that you can achieve, and you can actually fulfill them. Dominic, I know you got a lot more. We want to hear some more about these principles. We want to hear some more of those stories, because I think you're really connecting, at least with me and with my listeners. We've got to slip away, though. Dominic is going to be with us throughout the hour, so stay tuned for more. You're listening to American Indian Living with Dr. David DeRose. We'll be right back.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to our second half of today's edition of American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose with my guest Dominic Damaski. Dominic is the author of an exciting book. I know it may not just grab you as the thing that answers all your problems when you hear the title, but he's been walking us through how this book called Don't Double Bread the Fish is something that can make a difference in giving you some inspiration and motivation. Dominic has been talking about how to succeed after experiencing failure. And in fact, Dominic, as I recap, I'm just going to be honest with you. Someone's out there asking, well, who is it that's going to define success anyway?
I have a unique answer for that question. And we were talking a little bit before about the baby steps. And along the way, you accomplish something, and it might have just been Googling something or looking something up on the internet, and now that's a step that you achieved. You wrote down that goal. Writing that goal was a little accomplishment. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, who defines success? You do. Everybody defines success differently. For some people, it is their cans. For some people, it's a Rolex on their arm. For some people, it's being able to be off on Fridays with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first starting off in business, I went to this thing. It was some kind of class where you could, they taught you how to write business plans. And then if your business plan was so good, it could get you a government-approved loan or something like that. And one of the teachers, he was a guy probably about 80 years old. I think he was chewing on the pipe while he was teaching us. And he asked these people, he said, why do you want to start a business? Why do you want to start a business? And he said, as long as you know that answer. He said, for some people, it might just be they want to have a little $5 here so they can spend it. It might be only you know the answer, whether it be in business, whether it be when you're down and out. Like when I was in the restaurant business, there was times where I sold the food to the employees, and I couldn't give my wife a sandwich because she was not paying for it, but the employee who paid half price was. So it was better for me to get the $3 for the sandwich than give my wife that sandwich. So nowadays, sometimes taking my wife out to eat is a success for me. Sometimes filling up the grocery cart at the grocery store, sometimes for me that is a success because there was a time where, truthfully, I had trouble feeding my family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for success, only you truly define it.
Well, and this is a great message because what I hear you saying, Dominic, is there's folks tuning into this show. There's no question in my mind that are in those deep, dark places that you've been in before. They're listening right now. I mean, it sounds amazing to think that they might be in that grocery store just filling the cart and not worrying about how to pay for it. So you are telling us that there is light at the end of the tunnel. You've seen it. And I know that there's a lot of people out there like me that say, hey, you're out there writing, you're motivationally speaking, you're encouraging other people. How did you ever get out of being $500,000 in debt, though?
The way I got out of it was I took those steps and I just kept moving forward. Where when, like I mentioned the paper route before, I took accountability and mm-hmm. I knew, hey, I got my family into this mess. I got to get them out. So I was willing to deliver those 250 papers during the week and 300 on Sundays. I was willing to work the 18 hours. I was willing to make that one extra call. When I left the restaurant business, the only thing I was qualified to do was work in another restaurant. And I wasn't going to do it anymore. So I took a job in sales, and at the time it was selling ads in the Yellow Pages. And this was almost when phone books were becoming obsolete.
Okay.
But I took a job selling ads in the Yellow Pages and just made those calls, went out and saw 20 people, 30 people, knocked on those doors, took the no's, persistence. So by not dwelling on it, payment plans were set up, I owed everybody, and that's just how it was, but I just took a chunk at a time. There's an old saying, how do you eat an elephant? And it's one bite at a time is the answer, and that's how I took it, one bite at a time.
This is just so practical. I can relate even in a situation that may seem like a very different scenario, but I remember as a young medical student, one day just looking at all I had to learn to master not just the art of medicine, but actually to pass national boards and all. I just looked at these piles of books and I said, forget it. There's no way to do it. And I just lost all my motivation to study. Fortunately, that was just one day, Dominic, and I said, look, I cannot get focused on everything that's got to be done. I've just got to look at what can I do in the hour that I've got or the 15 minutes that I've got. So it's a message that really translates across disciplines, doesn't it?
It does, and to your point about that one day when you were in school studying, there's a chapter in the book, and it's called Survival Days. And there are going to be days where some days just stink. Some days you got to get through. And that's what a survival day is. And I tell a story about, I mentioned playing basketball before, and I've blown out my ACL. I've broke all kinds of bones in my body, but I always played. But when I was working for my father, and we were spraying chemicals where you wear these big packs on your back.
Uh-huh.
And, so me and my dad, he's a hard worker, you know, probably works twice as hard as me. Just, he's been in business 45 years, and me and him were spraying the sides of buildings, weeds on the sides of the buildings. And my knee was giving out that day, and so we had to cross a creek each time we went up with these packs on our back. And they probably weighed like 40, 50 pounds.
Okay.
And then we had to climb up this little hill of dirt. And then each time you emptied your tank, you had to go back down, fill it back up at the hose down the block, and go back up to where you were working. So each time up the hill, my knee would give out a little more. So finally, we're doing it, and I fell down in the little creek. And I'm not going to tell you this water was very clean. It was a little bit brown.
Uh-huh.
And I fell down in the creek on my back. I was like a turtle where my legs were moving, my arms were moving, and I couldn't get up. And I think my dad thought I was goofing around, but I wasn't goofing around. So he came down and helped me up and situated my knee a little bit. And it was near the end of the day. And I said, Dad, I'm just going to go home. He was like, no, you got to go help the people at the other job. And at the other job, it was spreading lime.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you're familiar with spreading lime, but you have to throw this lime, and then it gets all over you. And being that I was all wet, I looked like I had been powdered somehow. But
uh-huh.
My point to the story is, some days you just got to get through. So here's a day I'm down on my back in this muddy creek, and my dad says, no, you got to finish the day. You're going to go up and help. So some days stink, but you just got to get through it. And that's kind of how your day in the medical field was. You got to get through it. Live to fight another day, I say.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the fact. We're both talking about it today. I mean, it didn't overwhelm us, but the reality is it could. And someone out there who's listening right now, Dominic, they may be saying, yeah, it's great for you guys to be talking about it. Things are looking good in your lives, but I'm down here in that mud pit or in that creek or whatever you want to call it, and I don't know how to get out. What do you tell that person?
You're right, and I think I was down there swimming with them. and both of us and that person, we may be back there again. Now, I'm writing a chapter for another book I'm working on, and in it, the chapter is, there is no rock bottom. People always say, I hit rock bottom. I dispute rock bottom. I say, you might fall down there again. You might fall further than you've even been.
Wow.
But you know what? You can handle it. You can handle it. You can get up. You can brush yourself off. You can get off the mat. They didn't count to 10 yet. Get up and start swinging. There's a, this really goes into something else I'd like to talk about. And my son is a juvenile diabetic, and he came down with diabetes when he was about 3 years old. And here's my little son with these little tiny arms, and now all of a sudden we had to test his sugar, and he had to get insulin shots like 6-8 times a day at the time. Now he wears a pump. It's been a couple of years. He's healthier than ox. He actually, we box in the basement. I wear headgear. He gave me a bloody nose the other day, so he's tough.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, my sister-in-law was telling one of her friends one time that, oh, my sister and her husband, they go through so much. Their son has it rough, blah, blah, blah. And this gentleman had a daughter with more severe complications than my son, more medical conditions, far worse, that couldn't be healed even for 5 minutes or an hour with a shot. And he said, I would take that in a second.
Wow.
He would take my son's situation, who at times we thought was bad. It's not that bad. At times we thought we couldn't handle. You can handle it. So what I say to that person who's down in the mud, who thinks they can't get out, there's people that have it far worse than you have it, and somebody else would give everything they have to be down in that mud, because maybe they didn't even have a breath today. Maybe they didn't have legs to fall down in that mud. Maybe they didn't have a family to pick them up out of that mud. Maybe they didn't have the health that you have to be out to fall in that mud. So no matter how bad you think you have it, somebody else would give everything they have to be in that position.
What I hear you saying, Dominic, is really appealing to us to be thankful in whatever situation we find ourselves. Am I reading too much into what you're saying?
No, that's exactly it. I read a book. I'm a big motivational book guy. I love them. And I want to say it was Og Mandino who wrote it. And he said, so there was somebody that said, I don't have anything to be thankful for in the book. And the guy said, look down. Do you have your legs?
Mm.
And then the guy said, yes. And he said, okay, what did you look down with? You have your eyes. So you have so much to be thankful for. You have this, you know, you can look outside and see the horizon. Amazing. There's so much to be thankful for.
Well, Dominic, you're just really telling it like it is. I mean, you're giving your own story, some of the tough things you've been through, and some of the things someone might be listening to say, well, he deserved it. I mean, the guy was cutting corners in the restaurant, double bread in the fish. I mean, he asked for it. But no one can blame you for having a child with diabetes. Many people in Indian country, they know that agony of whether they're dealing with diabetes themselves or have children or grandkids who are dealing with that condition and the complications that often go along with it. But your message is powerful. Look at what you do have going for you. Focus on the positive, and there can be a successful future despite how bad things might look right now, despite some of the challenges you've had. Dominic, we got to pull away just for a couple of minutes. We are not going away. We're not finishing the show, though, because Dominic is staying by. We've got some more great insights that you don't want to miss in our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. And if you didn't get Dominic's contact information, he's got resources out there, ways to communicate with him, some encouraging messages for you. Stay tuned. We'll have it all in our final segment. I'm Dr. DeRose. We'll be right back.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Hello,
I'm Dr. David DeRose. American Indian Living is made possible in part by sponsors and partners like Dr. Juan Carlos Belliard with Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth. The Gateway Program, offering American Indian youth from throughout the country a sponsored 3-week residential program to introduce them to healthcare careers. The Gateway Program, an essentially free program that is part of Loma Linda University's CAPS programming, Community Academic Partners in Service. Online at llu.edu or by phone at 909-651-5011. Again, 909-651-5011. That's Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth, a proud partner of American Indian Living.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won, and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at uso.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You are back with Dr. David DeRose, and you're back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. We're speaking with Dominic Damaschke. Dominic is the author of the book, Don't Double Bread the Fish. Dominic, for those of our listeners who are just tuning in, tell us again, in just a nutshell, what that book's about and how they could put their hands on it.
Sure thing. The book, basically, what it is it's for anybody who's ever been down and out, punched, kicked, cut from the team, and said, I can't do this. This book, it's a book that says, yes, you can. While I'm in the book, it's not about me. It's more about the lessons that I learned from my father along the way of, you're down, you're out, you're getting kicked, you're getting punched, you're getting bullied. You don't have to take it. You can get up, you can fight on, and you can be great. And if you'd like to look me up, you can find me at www.motivationchamps.com. I sign any book that leaves there. If you'd like me to come out somewhere, look me up, or if you'd just like to chat, www.motivationchamps.com.
Okay, and Dominic, my listeners, I think many of them know that I'm based in Northern California. You're not actually one of my neighbors, are you?
No, I'm far from it. I'm probably about 3,000 miles from you. I am in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I live about 10 miles from Pittsburgh. I work in Pittsburgh, and I love the Steelers.
Okay, fair enough. So if you're in that neck of the woods, you're one of our Eastern tribal members that tune into the show. And by the way, just if you don't know much about the history of American Indian Living, this show was actually the vision of folks in the Northeast, Native Americans, who wanted to see a health show on Native radio. So we're here because of you. If you're there in the Pittsburgh area or the Northeast and you want to tap in to someone like Dominic, that website again, make sure I've got it right, Motivation Champs or Motivational Champs?
It's motivationchamps.com.
Okay, motivationchamps.com. And that's where I can pick up a copy of your book too, huh, Dominic?
Sure thing. And you can find me on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com too.
Okay. Well, you gave us earlier in the show 10 strategies, 10 principles for really how to come back if you've been, hit for a hard one, if you're down on your back, 10 steps to get you back on your feet. One of those I noticed was commitment. Can you make that more practical for us? Because everyone talks about commitment, but what does it really look like?
Here's what commitment is to me. I believe when you actually commit to something, this is the time when you are not afraid to tell the world your goals. So along the way, when I was writing a book or when I was going to open a restaurant and I had $0, first thing I said, I'm going to open a restaurant. And people said, you don't have any money. You can't do that. But I started to. I started to save. I saved $1 at a time, little by little. When I started to write a book, after a little bit of time, I said, hey, I'm writing a book. And people said, no, you're not. And I told you guys today, I said, I'm writing another book. And I have about 30 chapters done. And now that I told everybody there, I'd better finish that book. Because once you are willing to tell the world, now you become accountable to those goals.
So part of commitment that I hear you talking about is just like getting married, maybe someone's listening and they're a member of a church where they were baptized. Things that are big, we testify to before multiple people, don't we?
That's an awesome point. I never thought of it that way, but you nailed it. I said my wedding vows. I said them to the whole church. I told everybody.
Yeah, well, this is I like this concept because a lot of people are afraid to tell anyone else their goals for fear that they'll fail. But what I hear you saying, Dominic, is instead of increasing your likelihood of success, you're actually setting yourself up to fail.
Absolutely. Once you're willing to tell people, maybe I can't do it on my own. I'm sure going to try. But with Dr. David holding me accountable now, there's two people. Next time I see you on Twitter or something like that, you may say, Dominic, how's that second book coming? Mm-hmm. Or one of your listeners, they might say, hey, how's that business coming? How's your savings for that new coat you're going to buy? Whatever it is, tell the world, this is what I'm going to buy. This is what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, you're going to work a little bit harder to get there. You're going to put a little more time in.
You know, Dominic, I think it would be a shame in Indian country if we pass too quickly over the challenge of living with a family member that you love who has diabetes, because it's a huge problem in Indian country as well as in just about every other segment of the population. You have any words of encouragement for those parents or grandparents or other family members that are dealing with young kids that are struggling with diabetes?
Sure. I mentioned earlier that nothing is impossible. And I'll say, keep the faith. I heard somebody on the radio the other day saying, hey, maybe in 20 years we won't even have cancer anymore. There was a time when there was polio and diseases like that. So I'll say, remember, nothing is impossible. People will say the sky's the limit, but I'll say, how can the sky be the limit when there's footprints on the moon? That's a famous quote, but I'll say it again. How can the sky be the limit when there's footprints on the moon? Remember, nothing's impossible. Keep pushing forward, get through that day, survive that bad day, and who knows, maybe one of these days with everybody's support, a little knowledge, a little bit more science, who knows, maybe there will be a cure.
Thanks for cultivating that vision for us. And that brings me to one of the other points that may seem obvious to some of the folks who are tuning in, but as I'm looking back at these 10 points, I jotted down number 2. After you've taken that hit, after you're down on the ground, you said brush off. Now, everyone says, well, yeah, that's obvious. You're in the dirt. You got to brush the dirt off. But practically, what are you telling us to do? If I just had something bad happen, maybe my business failed, maybe I just lost my job, what is this point, brush off? What does that mean?
What I'm saying there is swallow your pride. Something bad did happen. Swallow your pride. Put it behind you. Don't stay at home on the couch. Don't wallow in the self-pity. Bad things are going to happen. I admit, you know, bad things happened, and I don't claim that my journey was any worse than anybody else. I just say, this is what happened to me. Sometimes I didn't make the right decisions, but swallow your pride. Get out there. Start from scratch. Start from the beginning. Learn a new craft. Learn a new field. do some research. That's brushing yourself off.
So the idea is not just staying down. You've got to make an effort and get up yourself, right?
Yeah, you can use a little help. You can lean on a spouse, a family member, but you got to get up. You got to roll over, put your knees under you, and start getting up. You can't stay down there. And at first, you don't have to accomplish everything. It could be writing. It could be writing a resume on paper. It could be writing down some goals. It could be, there's so many things that you could start. It could just be getting up for the first time and saying, hey, now I'm up. Mm-hmm. And start from there.
Since we're speaking about taking difficulties and channeling them into success, and you're doing that, you're actually on the air, you're speaking to, you know, tens of thousands of people, sharing motivational insights with them, Dominic, and we so appreciate you doing that. At the same time, someone else who's listening is saying, well, it's easy to be encouraged when you're back on top. But you've dealt, obviously, with some big fears and some goals that are unrealized for other people, like writing a book, for example. I know there's a lot of people out there that say, I'd love to write. I know there's folks that would love to be motivating other people, but they're afraid to stand up in front of audiences. Did you have fears like this?
Like I said earlier, I'll say doubts, sure. And even still, butterflies. Anytime you're doing anything good, if you're not doing anything, if you're just sitting on the couch forever, you're not going to have those fears. But those butterflies that you're going to feel, those are a good thing. That means something. Your clock is ticking. You're starting to make some movement. So it's going to happen, and it's part of your growth. I'm going to start calling those growing pains.
Okay, fair enough. Dominic, listen, our time is just about exhausted, but before we have to go, one more time, how can folks get in touch with you?
Please look me up at www.motivationchamps.com, where you can find the book on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. Don't double bread the fish.
That was Dominic Damasky. Dominic sharing with us insights into how you can be successful even if it looks like you are just down and out today. His book, Don't Double Bread the Fish, other lessons that he's learned throughout life. You can translate those secrets into success no matter where you're from, whether you're in the heart of Indian country living on a reservation today, whether you're in the heart of a city, whether you have no Native American roots at all. Powerful principles for success. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Hopefully today's show, American Indian Living, has connected with you, and that you, as a result of what you've heard today, will be better able to enjoy the very best of health. I'm Dr. DeRose.
This is Life Talk Radio.